Spices, habanero peppers are what I find more easily. When it comes to allspice, you can find allspice in a regular grocery store. However, I have always found it at a Bulk Barn. So if there is a Bulk Barn in your neighborhood, or if it isn't too far for you to make the trek to it, I recommend you hitting up a Bulk Barn, because you can get everything that I've mentioned there, and you can definitely get the allspice. So there is that. What I also like about Bulk Barn is they also have dried Scotch bonnet peppers. I have purchased it before. It is very expensive, but if you really want to like kick it up a notch with your recipe and try to get it a little bit more authentic, that is something that I would add. If you don't have access to that, that's kind of why I add the dried crushed red chili pepper flakes, because I do find that it does give a little bit of heat. You can also add a little bit of chili pepper flakes, do you know what I mean? Just dried chili, sorry. And that can also add to the combination of these spices. Now, before I get into some music and see if I can get our interview back on air, I want to tell you a little bit about traditionally how jerk meat was made. I think I talked a little bit about it last week, but just a reminder, traditionally jerk meat was smoked over green pimento, which is aka allspice, a wood. So they actually used a pimento wood, and that's what they would make the meat using, right? So since the wood can be very hard to find outside of Jamaica, using allspice in the rub is a way to sort of capture that authentic taste. One thing that I do like to, in terms of cooking methods between the two, is that when I'm using the jerk sauce marinade, I tend to make the chicken in the oven. I usually put it in sort of like a roasting tin, and then that's how it can create its own gravy, whereas when I'm using the dry rub, I tend to pan fry. So that is sort of the way that I work with that. So I am going to get back into a next set of tracks. The first song is going to be called Artistic Device. I love the name of that. And it is by Elusive. After that, we are going to have a track called Sports by James Dean. After that is Neon Summer by Older Future. And following that, we're going to have another K-Tanada track, and it is going to be the track called Home. Thank you.
42. 44. 42. Next year it's 43. That's a prime number. I keep remembering how stupid I was when I was young. Sometimes I dream I'm 23, but that was just a bad year. Sleeping all day, never dreaming, never loving, never happy, always paranoid. I tried getting help, but I could see in his eyes he didn't like me at all. Years later, he died of cancer. Years after I realized it was only up to me.
We heard a really great set, starting off with Artistic Device from Elusive, followed by Sports by James Dean. After that, we had Neon Summer. I really like that track by Older Future. And K-Tanada always bringing us the beats with his track Home. Let's see.
Possible. So yeah. That homeowner is basically
here. We have our interview.
It's going to be given away, and then also going down that lane of more urban agriculture to make it completely free,
yes.
Right? And to actually be able to just hand out to people who don't have that kind of access.
I love it. Now we're going to segue a bit into the services that you actually offer, because, mm-hmm. you know, just talking about that initiative, it's so great. Like, I lived in Calgary for a while, and they had this program where people who had, like, lawns and or property with, like, areas to grow but didn't have the time to do it would then match with somebody who wanted to grow. And so there was, like, this app, and then, you know, people could get connected with people who had plots and that type of thing.
Yes.
So I love that initiative, but at the same time, I would love, like, what if I were to look you guys up on the interwebs, what kind of services would I find out that is offered?
Yeah, so I guess, like, the most straightforward way to answer that is again, we're a foodscaping company, right? So if you go on there, you'll find that You know, first you can contact us and we'll meet with you and see what your needs are. But if you are a property owner, for example, or even if you're renting and you're allowed to do something to your space, the services we offer, basically we design the whole aspect of everything, right? We handle all the designs, the drawings, the plant layouts and everything. And then we do the install itself, right? So we are a landscaping company in that way where we can actually do all the work. And then we actually offer maintenance as well. So that's the other kind of cool thing about Frontyard Farms is technically there are ways that we can manage it for you. A lot of people say you can use the space, obviously, and we don't have time, right? And you're the experts and you'll be able to grow way more than we will. And so it's just it's just like somebody coming to mow your lawn or trim your hedges or whatever, but instead it's food, right? And so it's the same kind of thing when people say like, oh, how would maintenance work of a food garden? Just think of it as a lawn, right? It's the same thing, right? You're just coming once or twice a week, harvesting some tomatoes, you know, harvesting some greens and leaving a little box. So I don't know if you know like the CSA programs, the Community Supported Agriculture Programs. It's basically a contract that goes right from, you know, from me, for example, to a farm that's local. And I pay them directly and they send boxes weekly to me from the farm. So it kind of skips the the farmer's market, the grocery store, it just goes straight to consumer. And that's kind of what this is, right? Where people can walk out and they have their own little farm growing up there, right? So just to be very general, we design, install, and maintain food gardens all over the Lower Mainland. And then the other thing that we do is education. So a lot of clients, I've had a couple of meetings over the last couple of weeks, and they're like, I'm excited to learn how to grow and I want to grow on my own and I want to do this moving forward. And so we actually, we involve them in the installation, right? We don't just shove them to the side and do the whole thing and then walk away. We kind of hold their hand and show them what we're doing and why we're doing it. And then at the end, we actually teach them, right? You know, companion planting and crop rotations and where to move everything throughout the years, right? And kind of give them a starting point. And then just we if we get contacted by somebody, we just do one-on-one personal farmer meetings as well, right? So if somebody says, you know, I have a garden space, you know, I had aphids or I had a potato flea beetle, I had whatever, can you come help me and have a little hour meeting, tell me where what I should move or why this is not growing or what? So kind of using our expertise that way. And so it's kind of you know, a multi-tiered kind of service level where not everybody is going to need the big install. Some people already have a planter or a space to grow, and we want to be able to kind of access everybody and kind of cover as much ground with the knowledge that we have as possible.
Love it. I love it. And another question that I just have that just popped into my head is, like, especially because of the education component, what organizations have you, like, aligned with or collaborated with lately, you know what I mean, to kind of sort of get that education?
Well, so over the years, it's actually been, and this is why it's awesome to be speaking with you, because over the years, it's been a lot of garden clubs and libraries and just, and honestly, just meeting people during installs. Like if I'm working in a neighborhood, people are strolling by and I'm chatting with people and sharing what, you know, like what's going on here, because it looks a little bit different than normal landscaping. But what I've tried to do is, like I'm pretty forward, and so I'm just sending emails to other landscaping companies, landscape architecture firms, development companies, even home builders, and just saying what we're doing and trying to collaborate in a way of saying, hey, you know, you're building this new home. Have you thought about doing a food garden, right? Like that's kind of like, we kind of have to cold call people because, or cold email, I guess, as it were, because people don't really know, that this is even an option, right? Like I've had so many clients that said to me, I didn't know I could grow food, not even if it wasn't allowed or anything, but they just said, I just didn't, that just didn't crop. Like I had grass when I was growing up, we had hedges, a couple trees, and that was, So it's like, I'm bringing kind of, you know, we as Frontyard Farms is bringing new ideas to people, that just, you know, and so that's kind of the biggest part is just reaching those people, and getting a platform even to kind of be like, this is an option, right? Imagine if you had your space to go and, you know, you're going to go outside and hang out and maybe you have kids, whatever it is, and you go and you can pick, you know, apples off the fruit. You know, it's like, why would you not want to do that, right? It's such a beneficial, you know, activity, and it's so kind of like fundamental too for people to be growing food and involved in their food production. And that's what I found is like the enjoyment that I get, you know, that's one of like the big aspects of doing this work is literally like taking, you know, you see this tiny seed grow to this big plant, and then you're actually, you know, getting sustenance, getting food from it.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I went off on a tangent there.
No, but I love it. This is incredible.
Yeah, the connections are more so like I'm trying to kind of access like a bigger audience in that way. And so I have a couple of friends who are landscape architects, and so they have their own firms. And so that's kind of who I've been trying to kind of push and say, you know, talk to the developers, get community gardens going and all that kind of stuff. Because, again, like Front Yard Farms is boutique. It's small. And so we're trying to always expand and trying to, find somewhere that's really going to springboard into something big. Absolutely. You know, like really getting food into the city. But yeah.
And I think it's just the fact, I mean, like I said, when the we just talked about it, I had no idea that you can grow food. You know what I mean? Like, I think many citizens don't realize that we can do that. And I think that once people are a bit more aware, it could actually spread, like, you know what I mean? Like a week.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too. Like again, food is so like, it, you know, we use a lot of things in our day, right? You know, whatever it is, a laptop, a phone, a car, technology and that. But it's like most people eat multiple meals every day.
Period.
And we're so disconnected from our food. And so it really comes down to it that like we should be allowed to grow our own food, right? Absolutely. Because that makes it so we can control our own destiny, control who we are and what we grow. And we can. And so that's why we should. There's a movement called guerrilla gardening, which is, basically just finding places that, whether it's the city or whoever doesn't know, and just kind of throwing wildflowers down or setting up a little food garden, right? And just kind of letting it naturalize and become wild on its own. Yeah, and it's really cool because it's people saying, like, we're allowed to do this and we should be doing this. And the city can be, you know, like, certain times they can be a little bit restrictive. And so it's like, oh, like these wildflower seeds fell out of my pocket. Oops, right? So,
exactly.
Rewilding the city a little bit.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And then it's, oops, I did it again. And oops, I did it
exactly.
again. Anyways.
Yeah, yeah. It was a long walk. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
All right. As I start to wind it down, my question for you is, would you say the future of Front Yard Farms is like, what would you love to see, your business move to evolve
completely? I think from everything I've just been saying over the last like 25 minutes or so, it's always changing, right? And it's always morphing into something new every year. That's kind of the fun part about it. But my hope and my goal, I think, now that I've kind of really honed in on what that is continuing to grow food in people's yards, right? That's an easy walk through a neighborhood. You're like lawn, right? That's an easy one, right? People should be, if they can, get rid of their lawns, or even just expand their garden and start growing some food there, right? That's just, and we want to make sure that we're available to do that.
Yeah.
But the big one is, think about Burnaby or Vancouver or any really city in the Metro Van area. Everybody is moving into buildings and high rises and even townhome complexes. And this is why I'm really going after that kind of sector, because they should all have community gardens or food gardens, or they should all have some kind of access where, you know, I don't know if you've ever lived in an apartment, but I'm sure, like, I've heard all these stories about people feeling very isolated and alone because you're on top of each other and all stacked in. And you can imagine having a rooftop where you can go and there's greenery up there and there's community, right? And you can host dinners, you can do all this stuff, right? And so that's kind of the next step for Front Yard Farms, is moving really into pressing developers and these landscape architecture firms to find a way to get food gardens into their designs and finally their developments. And then have that be kind of a maintenance strategy and a maintenance project moving forward, right? So make it a norm to be, well, of course we have 35 plots plus an eating area to again not only grow food but to have community and bring people together in a building commonly not known for that kind of stuff, right? So those kind of two aspects, right? The more, I would say, almost corporate side of trying to get people who wouldn't have thought about this before to kind of make a change and do it that way. And then also just helping anybody who says, I have a whether it's one planter or you know, or an acreage, it's, you know, we can come and help with that too. So
I love it. And if I would also add, when it conversations with the developers, is that not to sleep on balconies. Because I think that there is a lot of, imagine they built in like, you know, areas where you could automatically start a herb garden, right? Yes. Like it's kind of like built into the balcony, for example, right? You know, so I could see that as if they can't do a rooftop, then, I mean, there are many buildings that are still building balconies. And I think there's a great opportunity there as well.
Yeah.
So, love.
Well, yeah. And that's, it's funny because, again, coming from the landscape industry, I worked at a lot of high rises down in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And like there's a ton of space. Like I've seen these rooftops. I've seen the gardens they're working with. And I'm like, this full sun all day. Right.
Like
you could grow immense amounts of produce there. So and that's kind of really what it is. Right. Is it's not going to be an overnight change and not, you know, some buildings just don't have it. Okay, like we can try to retrofit, use balconies like you're saying, and that's all good, but it's just small changes, right? It's like a community garden at a building, especially with Vancouver and Metro Vancouver more broadly tightening down on green roof spaces and saying now instead of just green blue infrastructure and green roofs and sedums and kind of drought tolerant plants, we might have to do more and have maybe tree cover and actual food up there. So as this moves, I think we're going to see that change and as people care more about where their food comes from, what's it grown in, what's been sprayed on it, right? We're going to see that change more and more. So,
And that was an interview with Aiden at Front Yard Farms, and I am just going to play us out with one track called Aired Out.